Thank you, Laura. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut, 10:9-22. The title of this is Blind Guides. All right, and this is talking about our training process. Through your training process, your time of being called aside to know who you are and to know what I have called you to do. You know, if God can't get our attention, then how will we ever know? You know, most people, if you ask them, do you know God's will for your life? Well, no. Most people will say, I've lived my whole life and never knew what God wanted me to do. Or no, he ain't called me to do nothing. Well, that's not true. But they never, like we've been talking about, pull aside and look inside to find out. You're coming to the close of it, and you'll be branching out. We've been talking about trees, see? Branching out. Do not be afraid, for I will lead you every step of the way. Branching out, now that I have your branches straight and going in the right direction. See, we've been all tied up and all bent up and all messed up, and God has been pulling those branches out and putting them in places where he wants them to go, pruning them and doing all these things, and we're going, what is going on? I can't stand this. But it's this process. You're no longer bent in all directions. Your thinking processes that aided and abetted the enemy. It has been a painful process, but necessary. Many never pull aside and allow me to work these things out of them. The process is too painful, they say. Too long, they say. Sadly, they end up not being about fulfilling my full plan for them because they did not endure the process. See, what Brother Caps used to talk about, whole hog when half ready. You know, people don't wait long enough to complete the process. They just jump out in the middle because it gets fiery, excuse me, or whatever. And they never let him complete the process. And what would have happened if Jesus had bailed out in the middle? Boy, we'd be in a sorry state, wouldn't we? I will be removing the ropes and the stakes that have held you in check these many years. Now you will be free to follow me to do what I called you to do from your mother's womb. No more restraints, no more holding back, no more hidden in secret, no more kicked to the curb, unrecognized and unknown. They will say, they just came on the scene overnight. It will appear that way, but only you and I know the truth. It's been a long, hard night. Like Brother Copeland said, longest night of my life. It's been a long haul, but it has all been to complete your training. Training for reigning. Just as I came out of the wilderness full of God's power, it will be the same for you. I'm with you. And I will continue to take you by the hand and will continue to lead and guide you. I was reminded this week, Jackie, of a word Danny had for you about so many offers that you would have to pray which one to take. Do you remember that?
Only one of them would be right.
Yeah, one would be right, but there'd be many offers. Yeah. Before you could be here, this new beginning, I had to have you awake. Awake to the truth. Awake to what is really going on in the nation and the world. How can a blind man lead a blind man? Won't they both fall into the ditch or in the pit? We're going to look at those scriptures on that. This is Matthew 15, the first one. Who wants to hear about what they've been doing to us? Who wants to hear all that stuff? The devil made sure anyone who brought anything like that forth was coined a conspiracy theorist, so no one would listen to him and think they were just a babbling fool. Who wants to listen to all of it? Who wants to hear it? Nobody. All right. Verse 1, Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. So in other words, traditions of men will cause you to do things that are not honorable. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments the commandments of men. See 14. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You know what? The message the Lord began to give me back in 1994, if the world had listened to that and heard that, Big Pharma would not have been able to have done anything to them. But they think, no, that's just a babbling fool, those words. You know what they said about Jesus? Their traditions. Their traditions are leading them to hell. Many have died from Big Pharma. All right, Matthew 23. See, God has awakened us for a reason. A lot of people think, well, that's just politics. I don't have nothing to do with politics. No, it's what's going on in the world. You, as a Christian, must be aware of it. You must be. You can't do the right kind of warfare. You can't do the right kind of praying or anything else if you don't know. All right, you'll think that the church is fine and you're just going about your business like everybody else. All right, this is Matthew 23:16. Woe unto you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? Whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. Whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. He that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. Have you ever seen the size of these little leaves they're talking about here? They're nearly microscopic. And they would count them out, 10% of all these hundreds of leaves. But they overlooked what was important. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. It talks about their graves right here. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. He goes on. He railed on them pretty good. All right, another one, Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch or hit in the ditch? Now you know why you're awake. Well, I've got a few more here. John 9. If we're not awake, how can we lead anybody else? All right, 9:39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." Okay, one more, and we'll continue with this word. Romans 2:19. "And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness." We're here to bring people out of darkness, whether they'll listen or they won't listen. That's our obligation. So many Christians do not want to get caught up in politics. This is not politics, it's biblical. This is called the Great Awakening. It was necessary, and I've heard this many times. I even posted it one night and got a feedback on that post about the time we're in, that we are called to such a time as this, like Esther's time. Her people would have been wiped out had she not listened to her uncle, Mordecai, and fasted and prayed and heard from God, and then she put her life in her hands to stand before the king unannounced, uninvited. It saved her nation. Yeah. We're in the time of Esther. Okay, 2 Peter 1. We'll start with verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of joy, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching water, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow."
Is that supposed to be 1st or 2nd Peter?
It's 2nd, but wasn't that good? God. Okay. All right. Well, that just tells you how perfect and imperfect is. A good comparison. All right. Let's read now 2 Peter 1:3. "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even though we may not understand the journey, this is what the end will be. All right, with that, go to Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Or would thou wert cold or hot? So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So it sounds like to me there is a time of going through the fire for every Christian that's required. Does everyone submit to that? No, they don't. They don't. Sadly. All right, go back. Romans 11. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Yeah. See, it's all, well, got a whole world out there in that condition. Or half of the population, they say. All right. Now I have a 3 Corinthians 3. Must have discovered a new book in the Bible while I was sleeping. All right. Let me see if it's 2 Corinthians. That's true. There could be. They just hadn't disclosed it to us yet. All right, let me look if it's 1 or 2. Probably 2. Let's see, 3:7. It's 2. All right, 2. All right, 2 Corinthians 3:7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious has no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face for the children of Israel, could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. See where I'm, okay, 18. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. To me, this is the awakening. We don't have a veil on our face. Traditions of men. Old Testament. All right. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have reigned, received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Yeah. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. All right, one more and I'll continue with the word. 1 John 2, 10 and 11. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. See, we touched on this Wednesday night about the love walk being trees of righteousness, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. What I see today in the if you have a way you believe and someone else doesn't, today it's a hate towards you. Even in the Christian community, it's an automatic hate and a crucifying of the person that's bringing something maybe you don't understand and you don't believe. You trash them. Church is I think they're worse than the world. What do you do when you're walking out of love? You're walking in darkness and you're blinded, yeah, from the truth. So many in my body today are blind men leading blind men, or both are falling into the ditch. I've gotten to where I can't hardly listen to anybody anymore, just a couple. Mm-hmm. It's like I can't stand to hear what they're saying, and it's not that they're saying evil, it's that they're just saying stuff that I know it's not true. They don't have the light on the subject. They're still in darkness, or they're pretending. I have not wasted one Sunday or Wednesday in your waking up process. See, this is carnal love. This carnal love being hard and mean, this is the Holy Ghost process of waking you up to what He's called you to be since you were before you were born. This is not by the whim of man, but by my divinely designed plan. The enemy has sown tares among the wheat. What are those tares? Wrong thinking that blinds the minds of men from embracing the gospel of the kingdom. Satan has done this. Total infestation and infiltration. The day of exposure has come when all that has been hidden in secret will be shattered from the housetops. All their treasonous plots are about to be exposed. Many will be devastated by this. I will have you take them by the hand, just as I've taken you by the hand. You will be that light that you can look to, they can look to and find their way. Not I told you so. Well, you stupid. We were asleep once too, right? Gross darkness is coming in this information war. Information coming out what they have done for thousands of years. Just like the Israelites were in Goshen where the darkness descended on Egypt, it will be the same here. I'm not talking physical light, but mental clarity. The blinders will be removed. I want to look over in Exodus right quick. Exodus chapter 11. Exodus 11:21. Well, there's not one. There's not. Hold on. What is the deal with me? All right. Let me find it.
10:21.
Yeah, it's 10:21. Man, I better make these corrections. If I come back, I'll think, I don't know what I'm talking about. All right. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed, let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle shall go with us, there shall not an hoof be left behind. For therefore must we take to serve, the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. So in the land of Goshen there was light, God's people. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. All right, the Red Sea moment is coming. Israel is in darkness. Their eyes have been blinded. This blindness is also on my church. The Rothschild operation is deep state. It is not my operation, but a counterfeit. Revelation chapter 2. They sold the whole church a bill of goods. There's ministries that's their whole focus is Israel and all the stuff about Israel. Boy, are they going to be shocked. All right, Revelation 2:8. And unto the church, or unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. They say pretty well that these Khazarian Jews, or whatever you want to call them, that they are the ones that are at the head of poisoning all our foods. The McDonald's thing with the human meat and all that, that's all by their design. But these aren't real Jews, which we know the born again are real Jews, whether they be Gentile or whether they be a Jew. Born a Jew. So there you'd kind of have to say they are the most evil of the most evil. Here's my true Israel. This is my operation. This is Revelation 7. I've read this to y'all many times. 7 verse 1, and after these things I saw angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any sea. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And you know, there's 12,000 each tribe here. It says, after this, verse 9, I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb. So this is God gathering his people together and sealing them in their foreheads. This is it. This is the true Israel. I will bring my nation, my church, my people from all over the world, and they will be sealed with my name. As I have said to you before, that I move in my time, not Satan's. See, everything they do is made up. All of it. And they lie. This is the blindness that is on the eyes of the so-called Jewish nation. The time of the Omar, or Omer, is here. The bundling of wheat into my barns to be preserved, and the tares will be gathered into bundles and burned. This is Matthew 13. I remember Melissa Redpill doing the Omer. It was a good illustration. It kind of planted something in my mind. All right, this is Matthew 13, 24. And another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is the storm. Right now, the bad tares are being taken out of the wheat, and they've done it so slowly to where the wheat has gradually gravitated, the tares have gravitated to the top where they can just skim them off the top now. Before they were hidden and nobody even knew they were there, but now they're out in the open for everybody to see. They're not fooling anybody anymore. They've become so blatant and outward in everything they do and say, it's just right out there. They don't care anymore. Well, it's time. This is the Omer. The counting of the Omer is observed by the Jews. It is a counting of the wheat. It was like you each day for certain days from Passover to Pentecost. Every day they'd gather a grain of wheat until it was in a bundle. The wheat was to be preserved. The tares were to be gathered and burned. In fact, I don't know if Melissa's right on this, but she says we were originally, this nation was supposed to be Omerica. Whether that's true, I don't know. But this is the nation that is, I believe, that is God's true Israel. I really believe that. I don't believe it's just that natural place over there. It's been, you know, taken over by the Rothschilds. So if that's true, spiritual Israel, God preserved this nation for the Jews to be able to come. They got thrown out of their nation. Just a thought. All right.